Colorful Radio.
As mentioned earlier, I am joined live in the studio by David Lawrence, who filmed the horrendous incident on board the Ryanair flight. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Karina.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I know you've been very busy speaking with international news outlets. So thank you for taking the time to come here and speak with
us.
Not a problem. David, I mean, how are you? I mean, it's been an incredible, what is it, a week and a half?
It's I suppose it's one of those situations where time just disappears. And it's just morphing from day to day. It's a surreal situation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because of what happened last Friday, the attention has just been overwhelming.
I can imagine. We've heard from the man who was hurling racist abuse, and we've also heard from Ryanair as well in the last few days. But could you just take us back to that flight? You were on board the Ryanair plane. It hadn't actually taken off as yet, had it? Could you just let us know what the story is?
We boarded the flight last Friday, the 19th. And on the Ryanair flight to Stansted.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in front of Miss Gale and her daughter, and we had a small conversation, a chat. And Mrs. Gale was disabled, so she had special assistance, so they wheeled her onto the flight in a wheelchair. And I took my seat, and they placed Mrs. Gale just two seats behind me, and her daughter was just further back. As I was getting comfortable, passengers were coming onto the flight. I heard a shouting match take place. Now, I didn't see this man come onto the flight, but I heard a very loud voice behind me shouting at Mrs. Gale, saying, "When I tell you to move, you move."
Wow.
And I turned around and I saw this man looking down at Mrs. Gale. And then at that point, her daughter had come rushing over. And then that was when the first, as you can see on the footage, that's when the first sort of confrontation started to happen,
mm-hmm.
the shouting.
Mm-hmm.
I then had to make a split decision at that time because there was no one around to help. There was no flight attendants. None of the fellow passengers were intervening.
Mm-hmm.
There was this man, this aggressive man, looking over this elderly woman, shouting at her. And it just seemed like there was no help. And so I took my phone and started to record it because I needed proof.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so as I started to record, it started to unfold how bad that this situation became.
Right.
He started with a torrent of abuse, racial abuse. It just came flooding out of this man just so easily, so easy. There was no self-control, there was nothing. You know, we live in a world of political correctness type things.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to watch your words.
Mm-hmm.
This man didn't care about anything. He called her, black and ugly and all these different words that I wouldn't even repeat. And so the flight attendant came. He did nothing. There was one young man at the back sitting behind him that tried to help. But again, it fell on deaf ears because this man refused to receive any help or any advice.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Mrs. Gale asked if she could be moved because they were practically just leaving her there.
Yeah.
And so they moved Mrs. Gale further back.
Mm-hmm.
This all happened before the flight took off.
Wow. Okay.
And this was what was so disturbing. I thought. I was standing there filming this. The cavalry was going to turn up. The police were going to turn up. Mm. Handcuffs were going to be out. This man would have been escorted off the flight. That sort of things.
Yeah.
The kind of things that would have happened to a black man,
mm-hmm.
if
mm-hmm.
he'd have done that, if the roles had been reversed.
Yeah.
It never happened.
Right.
And so the flight took off. And you can hear him in the film say to the flight attendant, "Oh, I'm all right now, now that she's been moved."
Mm.
One passenger walking past me at the time I was filming basically said to me, "Oh, don't you think it's childish that you're filming?" Again, you can look at the other passengers in the film and you can see them smiling, smirking, there was a white couple sitting behind that was actually laughing. So yeah, it was a surreal situation. It was very, very disturbing.
It sounds it. And it's interesting what you said about the man who came along and asked you if it was childish for you to be filming. It's quite interesting how people perceive content, videos, footage and so forth, and also social media. Because I think for some people it's a trivial thing. But as we've seen over the last week and a half, this story has gone viral. You shared the video online. And it's been a very powerful tool in terms of bringing awareness and the conversation, an international conversation, to this issue. Mm-hmm. Quite a few things I want to pick up on. However, after the flight, what happened? Were you there with Mrs. Gale and her daughter? Did you see any Ryanair staff sort of come and speak with her or anything? What happened afterwards?
Well, after having the most uncomfortable flight I'd ever had in my life, I literally sat in my seat. I didn't move. I was just shocked and just in a place of just disbelief. I made a conscious decision to actually stay behind after the flight and assist Mrs. Gale and her daughter. Mm-hmm. What we did was I asked Mrs. Gale to just stay in her seat. And I said to the attendants, we need to see someone. I want to see a captain. Somebody, please send them now. Mm-hmm. I think there was a lot of commotion going on as people coming off the flights. But a man came up. He didn't look like a captain. He certainly wasn't dressed like a captain. But he announced himself as a captain and asked us what had taken place. I showed him some of the footage. He said he seemed very, very anxious to get us off the flight. He was basically saying, "Oh well, you know, what do you want us to do? What, you know, that sort of thing." Mm-hmm. And we were saying, "Well, hold on a second. You're asking us. Mm. You should know what to do."
Yeah.
And he then suggested that we go to the Ryanair desk and form a lodge a complaint.
Right.
Which was another disturbing situation for us because we're again, no support,
yeah.
No help.
Yeah.
And he then basically said to us that there was nothing he could do at that moment because the man had already left the flight.
Right.
So.
And they didn't, no passenger details or anything that they could follow up on this.
Because absolutely nothing.
It sounds like they're just treating this as another sort of mishap. When from the video footage, it appears to be a racist incident, to put it mildly.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't, it wasn't treated as such. And it's quite interesting. You said that had it been a black man, sort of shouting and abusing somebody, I believe that undoubtedly he would have been escorted off the plane.
Absolutely.
Because we've heard of so many incidents of people being escorted off planes for much, much less.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let alone any sort of criminal act or yes. racist attacks. Or
yeah, well, I had, funny enough, I had viewed quite a few videos online with other airlines mm-hmm. where these types of things have happened before. And I had, on many occasions, said to family and friends, you know, wow, we can actually see these things now. You know, people who actually have the power to mm-hmm. film incidents. Mm-hmm. They can capture these situations and basically let the world know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was due to that which made me take the action I took.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't understand the power of media and how you can get involved as just an ordinary person, mm-hmm. everyday person going about your daily life, but capturing events that might happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so much different stories that have come out of social media in
yeah.
terms of people filming them and posting them online. So yeah, it was, it seemed at the time that it was the only thing that we had.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And are you quite tech savvy? Do you sort of film things all the time? Do you use social media quite a lot?
I do
mm-hmm.
When I can or however I can. But I'm not tech savvy. I mean, In fact, that phone that I used was a new phone. And the young man in the store had said to me, he sold me on the quality of the camera.
Right.
And it was a time when I said, okay, let me try this thing out. And I was very pleased. I didn't press any special buttons or anything. I just pressed record and held still. Mm-hmm. So thank God that technology is at a place now that, you know, it's very easy to use.
Yeah.
You know.
And how were you feeling in that moment?
At the moment
when you started filming, or you were sort of reached for your camera, what feelings were going through you? Obviously, yes. This incident was taking place, very unpleasant, very emotive.
Yeah. I first of all, it was a very tough decision for me to make. Was I going to get involved?
Mm-hmm.
Or was I going to stand back and film this? For me to get involved, absolutely, 1,000%. That's my mother. She's an elderly West Indian woman, 77-year-old woman. I grew up with these people. I grew up with the Caribbean community. I'm a child of the Windrush generation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mum to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have quite easily have got involved, but the headlines would have been quite different.
Yeah. Yeah, what would you anticipate the headlines would have been?
Oh, you know, threatening black man, bulging muscles or something like this, threatens Ryanair staff and passengers.
And I'm sure you would have been escorted off the plane.
I'd still be in a Barcelona jail today.
Right,
absolutely.
And we've seen it happen. I mean, we've seen it happen with musicians and sort of famous people when flight attendants didn't know they were famous, and obviously didn't know there were sort of PR and sort of influential channels already in place, and these stories have got really big. So this isn't just, you know, some people might say, oh, it's just race baiting, and you know, that wouldn't necessarily have happened. But you know, unfortunately, sort of growing up in the world that we grow up in, and being of African heritage, racism is a very real thing. And I mean, one thing I want to speak about is the nature of this type of racism, because I've heard a lot about when the Windrush generation came, that it was a very hostile environment. You know, they were told they were part of the British Empire. They were invited to come here to rebuild the country after the war. They were told the streets were paved with gold, and they were met with hostility. And I think especially as they had children, sort of particularly in the 1960s to the 70s, where things really crescendoed, racism was very physically aggressive and verbally aggressive. It was uncontained. What's your experience been like growing up in the UK, and have you had any sort of experience of racist abuse in your earlier years, sort of growing up here in the UK?
We all have. Mm-hmm. All of us from the black community have stories to tell.
Mm-hmm.
All of us.
Mm.
If it hadn't happened to us, we'd witnessed it in some way. What you just described was my mother's story.
Right.
Mum was from the island of Antigua. She used to tell us stories of how they used to sing God Save the Queen every morning before class and after class.
Right.
England was the motherland. This is the place. And they were called, there was a national call to come over and help rebuild the motherland after the damages of the Second World War. Mum was very excited. Mum came from a very good background. She had a lot of opportunities back home.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked away from all of that to come to England with everyone else to join this new life and to rebuild the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, streets were paved with gold. You can pick money off of trees, they said. All these kind of things.
That's what they were sold.
When Mum arrived, it was a complete opposite. Not only did she experience harshest of racism from the indigenous white English people and population around her, but she found that the streets weren't paved with gold,
mm-hmm.
and that there was no help for her.
Mm-hmm.
She told me a story once that she went to the butcher's to get some meat one morning, and she arrived there early, and she had to queue up. And there was about, it was a good queue there, maybe about 30 or 40 other white women. And the butchers served every single woman before her. They looked around her, said, "Yes, Mrs. Brown, you next. Yes, Mrs. Thomas, you next," and so on and so on. Mum stood there in the cold, and she was the last one.
Right.
And then they said, and then when they asked her what she wanted, she said they were so rude. Like, you know, okay, what do you want now? So that sort of thing. Mum and others like her went through a deep-seated racism in this country that no one's been able to look at and dissect properly.
Mm.
We need to look at, I mean, my own personal run-in with racism was all through my young life, growing up in North London, going to school in Tottenham, having to walk back from school at certain roads to avoid certain parts of the streets because, you know, there was gangs and there was attacks. My mother used to cry at nights because my father used to come home from work on the buses at night, and he had to fight for his life almost every night from a group called Teddy Boys, you know, back then. Mm-hmm. So yes, the history and the stories of racist abuse in this country is huge. Mm-hmm. And we need to now get these stories and put them on the table and look at them in such a way that we can say, why is this still here? What is going on? Has it really gone? Is it being suppressed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's many things that we can do.
Yeah, and it's interesting when we think of the 1970s onwards. Obviously, we've had things like the Race Relations Act, the Race Relations Amendment Act. There have been riots in relation to the police's interactions with the black community here in England in particular, and the sus laws and so forth. Right through to, obviously, the Stephen Lawrence inquiry, well, the Stephen Lawrence tragedy and the subsequent inquiry that's looked into the justice system and the policing of communities and how police interact with the black community in particular, and there's been obviously a lot of reporting over the years of sort of confrontation, as I mentioned, in the early 80s and sus laws right up until the recent North London riots in the last decade. So, I mean, there has been a focus on race, looking at it through a legal lens, and all these sort of government systems. But in terms of the dialogue about how, as communities, people experience racism and people are racist towards other people within communities, I think that conversation has been very quiet in the UK for a very, very long time, in comparison to, say, the United States of America, where there's been an ongoing dialogue about race relations and tensions and so forth. I think here in the UK, as I guess people have assimilated, in particular the black community have assimilated and become part of the fabric of England, I think the conversation has been a lot quieter. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's been amazing to stand back and watch how a massive opportunity that the type of opportunity that we've been given through the sacrifice of our parents has just been misused and placed to one side. You know, our elders went through so much for us, and many of them are no longer here, and we have this huge responsibility and legacy that we can now use and take it to build on for the next generation, and we haven't done anything with it.
Right. And what are you talking about? Are you talking about we've not been speaking up in terms of awareness
Absolutely.
Of issues, or
Absolutely.
Just generally the black experience here
in the UK? I think both. I mean, this, you know, again, in America, many of us have been to the States. We've seen what's going on out there. And there, as much as the hardship that they're facing is on a continuous basis, and it seems as though, you know, nothing's changed. Things have changed in America, you know, from what it was.
Right.
And we need to do that here. We need to now, you know, basically use our camera phones.
Right.
Okay? As simple as that.
Yeah. Because and it... Oh, sorry to cut you, but it is about the evidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, there's a very common phrase here in the UK. You know, black people often get told you've got a chip on your shoulder if you bring up any sort of topic around racism or discrimination or so forth.
Or don't you think you're childish for filming this?
Absolutely. That's the new the 2018 iteration.
Yeah.
But what message would you give to people who might witness something like what you witnessed the other day, or just want to have more of a voice and more of a presence in terms of being part of the conversation around community relations and in particular race and discrimination against black people here in the UK? What advice would you give the people?
Well, first off, please try and get some sort of evidence, whether it be a recording or witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, look around you, see if there's anyone around that can stand with you to say, yes, this lady or this man is telling the truth, this happened.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, show them how intelligent you are, because people, the British public look at us within the West Indian community as we know something, but we only go so far. Our knowledge goes so far. Whereas we are an incredibly intelligent people.
Mm-hmm.
We might not have the words to mm-hmm. express that, but there's help out there.
Right.
You can find someone to say, look, could you help me put this into words?
Right.
I want to make this complaint. I need this help.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then is when you do that, things... and people start to pay attention, and they start to look and say, well, hang on a second, maybe this person has something to say here, and they'll give you an ear.
Mm.
And this is where you start. Mm-hmm. These are the steps.
Mm-hmm.
But first thing is first, make sure your phone is charged up.
Yeah.
And you start recording, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a phone with the camera, you can have a phone with just the recordings. You know, it can be done.
Yeah, it's about the evidence
at the end
of the day.
Absolutely.
So that we don't have to spend time debating whether racism actually exists, and we can actually try and move things forward.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. You're tuned in to the Arts and Culture Show. I'm Karina H. Maynard, and I'm here in conversation with David Lawrence, who filmed the horrendous racist incident on board the Ryanair plane. Now, David, we've spoken a bit about people feeling empowered to document things if they see things and evidence things so that we can push this conversation forward.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, your footage went viral pretty quickly. It's been covered internationally. All the major news publications, in particular here and in the United States, have covered it. What has that experience been like for you? Were you expecting that? What were your expectations?
I'm still shocked by the response. I had no idea it was gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy. I posted it on the Friday, and the Saturday, I checked my postings and I saw 12,000.
Wow.
And I was happy with 12,000.
Mm-hmm.
By the Saturday afternoon, it had reached 1 million. By Sunday, it was 2.5 million.
Wow.
And then, as you know now, it's 7.5 million and still climbing now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What happens now? You know, you're so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
With that type of response
yeah.
from the world,
mm-hmm.
that it gives you so much hope
mm-hmm.
and such a boost
mm-hmm.
that someone's listening, and of course, along with those numbers, you're getting the comments.
Yeah.
And 99.9% of the comments have been all in favor
mm-hmm.
of what we've done.
Right. Fantastic. And I just want to speak a bit about sort of the UK media
sure.
and the US media and how they sort of contextualise this story and their sort of understanding of it all. So first of all, here in the UK, obviously you've spoken to all the major news channels and newspapers and so forth. Mm-hmm. What has been the narrative? What has been the overall sort of direction, and how have they contextualised this story?
Karina, you know, they have been absolutely 100% in support of what happened on that last Friday. It's been an amazing show of support from every single network.
Amazing.
I thought I would have to be ready to deal with everything across the board, every kind of comment, every type of opinion. But for some reason, this particular incident has caused outrage amongst all, all media, both here and abroad.
Okay. And did the was there any sort of barrier in terms of cultural understanding when you've been speaking with the US media, or did they seem sort of well versed in sort of racism and the reporting of racism here in the UK?
Yeah, good question. I'd lived in America for a while, so I understand that their understanding of England and British culture is dated. So of course there are things. I mean, they still think there's Hounds of the Baskervilles and Jack the Ripper and all that sort of stuff over here, and Fog and the Queen. So for the American media, they were shocked at this. They asked if he was British, if this man was Australian. Are you sure he was British? That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, their understanding was, well, we had no idea that this type of racism existed in England.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We thought it was just us,
right.
Sort of thing.
Right.
So yes, it's been an eye opener for the American press.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And in terms of the comments, have people been shocked that this sort of in-your-face racism is here in 2018? Or what's been the commentary?
It's just been, again, Karina, it's been it's amazing. It's just been utter disgust and shock at what this man did and Ryanair's response.
Right.
Because there's two areas here. Is, obviously the man and his racist actions, but of course the actions of this huge airline that is responsible for the well-being of its passengers.
Yeah.
And to see that they haven't even apologized, or they haven't made sure that, the injured parties involved are taken care of. Again, it's a shock on both levels.
Yeah.
In both areas.
Yeah. And I guess this is kind of reminiscent of the Stephen Lawrence inquiry, because it's looking at not just the incident took place, but how people in positions of power responded to that and what they did and didn't do.
Yes.
And even on just on a very human level, to see an elderly, disabled woman like that being verbally assaulted like that, on a very human level, you'd expect something to click and for someone to sort of jump into action.
Yeah.
Ryanair, I've seen from the footage, they were sort of treating it almost like it was an altercation between two people. And they were more sort of concerned with the man being calmed down and all right than what that woman had actually experienced. And subsequently, I've seen footage of her, and she does seem incredibly shaken up by the whole experience.
Well, I mean, it's obvious that, this is totally unacceptable behavior from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if the roles had been reversed and that was a white woman going through this, I would have still stood up. I still would have filmed this. I still would have expected help and called out for. You can hear me in the film basically saying, get him off the flight, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's about the policies of a company like Ryanair.
Yeah.
It seemed as though they had nothing in place.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed as though their staff members were just clueless.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is it's an absolute disbelief that a company like Ryanair could operate this way,
Absolutely.
It's...
Yeah. Well, time is whizzing by. I mean, this is such an important conversation.
Colourful.
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 Karina.
Colourful Radio.
You're tuned in to the Arts and Culture Show. I'm Karina H. Maynard, and we're speaking with David Lawrence, who filmed the racist Ryanair incident. Now, David, we've spoken quite a bit about people sort of taking power into their hands, capturing content and so forth. In terms of moving forward, I'm just wondering, in terms of any sort of coordinated action or so forth, I would like to hear your thoughts on that. But first of all, I got a quote from Patrick Vernon, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago because of his campaign around the Windrush generation and the unfair treatment in terms of their citizenship issues and so forth. And he's been liaising with the family and so forth. And he said that Mrs. Gale is part of the Windrush generation that has contributed so much to Britain, like others who served in World War One and Two. Our contribution has been from the NHS to transport, manufacturing, teaching, literature, enterprise, public life, fashion, music, politics, science, culture, and food. If more people learn about the Caribbean contribution over the last 70 years from the Empire Windrush, we would have more respect and recognition and not be treated in this disrespectful and disgusting manner. For the future generations and to promote greater tolerance, we need to have Windrush in the national curriculum for all children. He then goes on to say, Mrs. Gale has suffered with anxiety and depression as a result of this racist abuse, and it does raise the issue, how do people who are black and other minority ethnic communities deal with hate crime and racist behaviour? More work is needed around support and counselling, as you mentioned earlier, so people have the right emotional support when this happens. Also, companies like Ryanair need to take responsibility around staff training and immediate action for abusive passengers. Companies and public bodies should be creating a safe space environment for all passengers and staff. Again, as we've spoken about during the show, no one, irrespective of faith, race, ethnicity, or age, should have to deal with what Mrs. Gale went through. And he's got together with Virgin Atlantic, and they have arranged a holiday for Mrs. Gale for her to just get over the whole ordeal. And there's also a GoFundMe campaign, which is the Give Mrs. Gale a Well-Earned Break campaign on GoFundMe.com, where people can donate money so that this woman can have some respite.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it's great. It's fantastic. First of all, Patrick's doing a great job. The whole Windrush situation is so huge. The story has never been told.
Yeah.
And so it's time now. Mm. What else are we doing?
Well, and when Patrick is here, we were talking about Black History Month and the fact that we still need it because
Absolutely.
Black history isn't integrated, it's excluded
absolutely
from the telling of history.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, it's the atmosphere, it's time for us to now tell our story.
Absolutely.
All of us have a story. All of us who are children of the Windrush generation have our story. It's time now. There's a platform, there's time for it to be told. All the things that Patrick said in his statement, you know, he's just echoing what we all feel. And I totally agree with everything he said. I think I feel encouraged when I hear things like that. And I know there's other people in the community doing whatever they can. It's encouraging. Also. It's just great that companies and people have gotten together to reach out to Mrs. Gale and help her, help ease her pain in some way, whether it be holidays or, you know, GoFundMe pages where she could benefit from. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we speak on this show so much about digital and how it's used to call things out. But also, you know, we hear so many negative things about the internet, but it really can be a platform for people coming together and communities taking power back into their own hands, whether it's through helping people financially or causes and so forth.
Yeah, there's been some incredible comments from black people around the world on this subject, and some of the stories and comments that we've received, that I've received, it's just been amazing. And it's so articulate, and it's so intelligent, you know, that the world needs to read these and see these stories and comments. We've got some serious talent in the community. You know, companies, you know, around the world have no understanding of the Windrush generation here, or the children of the Windrush generation, and what we can do and what we're capable of doing. I mean, Colourful Radio is fantastic, you know, and other, you know, other outlets, media outlets of colour that, you know, is helping to build the community. It's amazing.
It's very important, because I mean, what this incident with Mrs. Gale has shown us, in terms of the whole sort of home office situation, in terms of people who came here and had a right to come here, now being told that they're not legitimate British citizens, and people being deported, and it's been going on for a while, and it was kept quite sort of under the table for as long as it could be.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing that it now more than ever is a time for action. It's time for people to speak up and move things forward, because we're seeing the Windrush generation and the descendants of the Windrush generation being disrespected on so many different ways.
I mean, it just, I remember hearing a story about Queen Elizabeth just after the Spanish government they expelled the Africans from Spain, and the British Queen at that time was concerned about the blacks that were here in England at that time. I think she quoted something like, there's too many of them here. At that time. So we're talking about a deep-rooted history of racism from the very top.
Mm-hmm.
We now have an opportunity today to use the technology that we have, the information, the education, all these things that we have now, and really piece it together and make change. We've got youngsters up and coming. We've got children on the way.
Yeah, and we need to educate young people so that they're astute enough to recognise racism, because it's not always a verbal assault like what you captured on the video. It's often institutionalised, it's in education, it's in healthcare, it's in society, in so many different ways, and it affects people's lives profoundly. And everything you spoke about in terms of opportunities for the descendants of the Windrush generation, it sort of lies in people being educated and empowered to recognise structural racism, as well as this in-your-face kind of racism, and really be empowered to move things forward.
You know, another thing that was really interesting is in our meetings, and we were discussing things, the majority of stories that we received are a lot of people going through tribunals and grievances in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stories out there, of a lot of racist stories out there, where people have to go to work and are going through tribunals and this and that. It's amazing. And people are suffering this on a daily basis. They have no one else to speak to, nowhere to turn.
Yeah.
You know, so let's get this out. Let's shine a light on it.
Absolutely. And hopefully it raises awareness for all communities about this specific issue, about racism towards black people here in the UK. And all communities can be enlightened and see it from an objective perspective. perspective, and hopefully future generations as well will have different attitudes and have more of an objective perspective of what's actually going on and how, and maybe that will make them reflect on how they treat people
We're asking people that who, if anyone has any stories in regards to Ryanair in particular at this stage, where they've suffered anything like this or they've gone through anything like this, please, you know, reach out to me on my Facebook page.
Okay.
I mean, they can send...
Which is how to...
David Lawrence on my Facebook page.
So...
It's simple. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to find, you know. And you know, reach out to us there.
Yeah.
So that we can connect, use the internet and use the technology we have.
Fantastic.
To you know, just connect and let's get talking and let's build something.
Yeah. David, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for capturing that footage and sharing it with the world so that we can definitely, hopefully, move this conversation forward.
Thank you.
Colorful.
Colorful.
DJ. Colorful.
Karina.
Colorful. 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 Radio.